You may remain seated. The grace which brings us salvation has appeared to all men, and in that salvation I bring you greetings of grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text that forms the basis for our thoughts today is just a blip on the radar, just a blip in the lives of the world, and even a blip in the Holy Scriptures. Just one short section of Jesus' life. We hear very little from when we hear of him as an infant and as an adult, but here's a glimpse into Jesus at just age 12 in the temple, as we just read in our gospel reading from Luke chapter 2. In Jesus' name, in whom dwells all the riches of wisdom and knowledge, dear fellow students of the Word. For those of you that are old enough, can you remember what it was like being 12 years old? What were you up to? What were you doing? It was about age 12 when I entered catechism class. There I was, a 12-year-old boy, in the classroom with the pastor and the other kids, 3 hours a week, studying the catechism. But why? Was it because I chose to be there? I saw the advantages of learning the commandments and memorizing Bible passages and could tell how well it was going to profit me in the future? Or was it because that's where I was supposed to be? That's where my parents told me to be. If I was given the choice between being in the classroom memorizing the commandments or being out at the mall with my friends, what would have I chosen? Catechism class often seems like a blip on the radar. It comes and it goes as life moves on to bigger and better things. This is the typical immaturity of a 12-year-old, not yet mature. But it's not just catechism class. It's all kinds of parts of our life where we demonstrate a lack of wisdom, a need to grow up. In so many more ways, we all need to grow up. Whether you're 12 years old, or 24 years old, or 84 years old, we all have a need to grow up. And so today we grow up with the boy Jesus. Here he is, just a 12-year-old boy, making his trip, the long journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem. Where would we expect to find him? Among his friends and relatives? Well, Jesus was no typical 12-year-old. He was growing up fast, growing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, faster than even his parents could tell, beyond his teachers, beyond even Solomon. And he did it by learning the commandments. Learning that the commandments have an application for our life that is more than just a blip on the radar. And so today we grow up with Jesus, firstly in the wisdom of the third commandment, seeing Jesus subject to his heavenly Father, and secondly in the wisdom of the fourth commandment, seeing Jesus is also subject to his earthly parents. Why do we go to church? It's the thing we do on Sundays. We're used to this. But on Monday, we head back to real life. Church is one day a week, 1 hour a week. For some people, maybe twice a month. For other people, maybe twice a year. But real life starts on Monday. It's like catechism class. It's just a bleep on the radar. And so we go to church on Sunday and we return to our real life on Monday, our real problems. We think church is nice. It gives us a chance to escape, a chance to rest and think, maybe a little boost for the next week. Or maybe it's just what we've always done. It's the place we're supposed to be Sunday mornings. It's where our parents brought us. It's where we bring our kids. It's our tradition, our custom, before returning back with the crowds to everything else that's going on. But what was Jesus doing? Church was over. It was time to head back to real life, back to Nazareth. The festival had ended. The days of the Passover feast were finished, and now all these groups of pilgrims were going to make that long, hard journey back through the lands of Judea, up to Galilee, to go home. But where was Jesus? They searched diligently among the friends and the relatives, the crowds, the places they expected him to be. All the while, making their way further and further, they realize they don't know where Jesus is. And so Mary and Joseph start that search for Jesus. 3 days it takes them before they finally find him in the place where they probably should have expected him, in the temple, sitting at the feet of the rabbis, asking questions, listening and learning. There he was. But didn't he know church was over? Didn't he know they had to get back to real life? Joseph had work to do, carpentry work to get back to. Mary had housework to do. Why was he inconveniencing them like this? Well, Jesus was growing up in a way that even his parents didn't understand. At 12 years, he was already understanding things that were beyond the wisdom of this world, things that impacted his divine calling as the Messiah. And so he responds, "Why did you seek me? Didn't you know I would be about my Father's business?" For Jesus, the temple was more than a one-time event. The third commandment was something that impacted his thinking every day. The third commandment, which reminds us to fear and love God, that we do not despise his word or the preaching of it, but we hold it sacred and we gladly hear and learn it. Jesus was seeking out the word as diligently as his parents were seeking him out. And although he was God, although he had all the divine knowledge in the world, there he was, learning. He gave up his rights to know everything that he might be humble, that he might be human, that he might learn like you and I have to learn, except without sin. Without sin distracting him, he was focused on what he needed to be for all of us. Yes, we need to grow up. But this is how we do it. In Jesus, we discover the wisdom of the third commandment. That church isn't just about a blip on the radar, a Sunday then back to regular life on Monday. It's about every day, every hour, as God guides us in his wisdom to gladly hear and learn what he would say for our lives, for our forgiveness, for our wisdom in Christ. And there's opportunities everywhere. We have opportunities every day. You could, later on, you could reflect on the sermon when you're going to bed. You could ask questions on the way home about the scripture reading or the hymns we sang. You could have a home devotion with the family around the dinner table. You could say a prayer, have a moment for meditation. You could read your Bible every day of the week. Catechism class is not something to be left behind, because here is the wisdom of the third commandment, where we too become subject to our Heavenly Father. Yet, despite how he was growing in wisdom and stature, he was still a boy. Jesus was still a boy. He still lived under the roof of his parents. He still relied on them for food and clothing. And he knew this meant God had given him a calling, a place, a responsibility in his life, not just to keep the third commandment, but also to keep the fourth commandment, the commandment which reminds us to be subject to our parents. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. The fourth commandment addresses our calling as parents, and our calling as children. It reminds us that God has given each of us a specific role, a responsibility in life, a place to be. You shall honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. It often happens around the age of 12 that we start to get a sense of independence, don't we? A sense of empowerment. It's usually around that age, as we become teenagers, we get this sense that we're not children anymore and we don't need to be treated like children. We start to think, what right do mom and dad have to tell me what to do? We think about Susie. Susie's parents don't tell her to go to church. Susie's parents don't tell her what to wear or what to watch on TV. They don't tell her when to go to bed. Now, why should my parents tell me these things? And we think it's time I start making my own decisions. But really, it reveals we've got a lot of growing up to do. Jesus understood something about the fourth commandment, that it was given as a blessing. Who among us could claim a right to independence more than Jesus? He was God's own son, with the divine rights to all creation, to rule all things as he had in eternity. What right did they have to tell him what to do? But he gave it up. He gave up his status as God, that he might be a child for us. Even though he was right to be in the temple, to be about his father's business, he didn't argue. He gave it up. Even when his own wisdom was surpassing his own parents, he kept the fourth commandment. Wisdom is about knowing how God blesses us through representatives, through earthly callings. Wisdom is knowing God has given us parents to care for us, to take care of us, to discipline us. At age 12, who among us is ready to be an adult, to take on those responsibilities on ourselves? God has given us parents. But the commandment doesn't just apply to children. It applies to parents too. It has a place for parents to learn what it means to have a responsibility, to have a place of honor in God's kingdom. And so parenting, above all, is a place where we need wisdom. Disciplining your children is a difficult thing. It's so easy to do it the wrong way, when you're angry, when you're impatient, when you've run out of juice, when you have just had enough or you've got too many other things going on, and pretty soon you start disciplining out of anger. You discipline because you want revenge. It's so easy to fall into these tactics. What's hard is disciplining when you're calm, when you're in a good mood, when it'd be easier to let it go. Trying to understand why you're disciplining your children. Trying to understand how God wants you to discipline your children. Parenting is a confusing time. But look what Mary did. I mean, Mary and Joseph were as confused as anybody about what was going on, why Jesus wasn't with the crowds, why he was back in the temple. So what did Mary do? Well, she instructed Jesus to come home with them, and she kept all these things in her heart. So even though we get confused as parents, and it's hard to discipline the way we should, or teach our children the proper difference between right and wrong, we know it's a time to reflect, to think about what our children are going through, and to seek that wisdom from God, to pray about it, and learn what God would have us do. Then we discover there's a place for discipline out of love, a place for our children to be subject to us, not because I say so, but because God says so. It means we have a blessing to give them so that they can honor us and respect us as parents and as superiors. In the end, however, for all the wisdom we might gain, for all we might grow up, we never really keep the commandments like we should. Whether it's the third commandment, and we're distracted in church, or we don't want to go to church, or we're ignoring prayer at home, or it's the fourth commandment, and we're angry at our kids, or we're upset with our parents, and things aren't fair, and we're disobeying the rules. We've all broken the commandments. And that's why God sent his Son, to redeem us from these sins, to bring us someone who would truly grow up in wisdom and keep all the commandments for us, to bring us righteousness from God by faith, even in a 12-year-old boy. I hope you can see now that it's more than a blip on the radar. That this story is more than a blip on the radar. That catechism class is more than a blip on the radar. That the commandments have a place for us every day throughout our whole Christian life and faith. If you've understood this, if you've taken this to heart, then it means you have grown up. And so we pray, O holy God, grant us such wisdom that in our Lord Jesus we would grow up in all things good and wise. Forgive us for those times we have failed to do what is right, and give us wisdom to apply your commandments to our lives as Christians. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We rise.